Hello, welcome to CarCast. Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea here with Bill Goldberg. How are you?
Tired and old, man. Same
Tired and
old.
old.
Yeah, every day. The days get shorter and the list gets longer. So yeah, man. Look
you've
behind
been
me. I got a different car on the lift every time we got the freaking show now, right? So,
Yeah.
yeah. It's fun, dude. We're having fun.
Yeah, I know you had the crew out there, and when you're filming, you try to jam as much into the limited amount of time while your crew is there, and then they get to go back, and then they edit and they put it together. So it's kind of like filming a season of TV where you're like, well, let's get it all done, and then they're gone now because you can't pay them to just be there on call, week after
Well,
week after week.
the cool thing is that I'm learning that, as we've talked about, the more organic it is, the better it's received on that medium, right? And so when they're not here, I got a GoPro running a lot of the time. Jackson and I work a lot of the time into the wee hours of the flipping morning, unfortunately. Look at me. We did it last night. So that coupled with, when they're out here for a day, they're here from 9 in the morning to 6, and we get 2 episodes shot. You traditionally do the open, you do the close, and you do as much in between, as much meat as possible in between,
Yeah.
with the dynamic shots that they can do and that you can't do. So,
Yeah.
I mean, I look pretty stupid flying a drone and trying to drive a car, So, I mean, it's to be able to utilize them for that short period of time is key for sure.
Well, I went on after we did the podcast last week. You were talking about getting the Demon 170 and getting the custom green color, and then this week you posted the video on your YouTube channel. And yeah, definitely different green than the F8 green, a darker, I don't know, more of a forest kind of green to it, but that's a sharp looking car. That thing's
You have
cool.
to thank you, and you, but you have to see it to do it justice. I can't
Yeah.
even describe it. I mean, I can show you the swatch, right up close to the camera.
Yeah.
You can see the car, but you can't really tell. It's so much different than the F8. But yet it's as distinctive and as badass, I believe, because the F8 is my favorite color out of the whole lot, right?
Yeah.
But it's so much different, but so much the same. It's kind of the best way I can describe it is it's a modern day interpretation of what the military would use for camo color.
Right. And what does Dodge call the color?
Green machine.
Green machine. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's cool. I mean, I obviously there was a part of me that went, I love F8 green. I could get the F8 green. But I was in the longest yard and we were the mean machine. And
Yeah, I
I
was
mean,
just thinking that too. You guys were Mean Machine. And it just like you didn't
it's
pick the
just there.
name, right? It just worked out that way. And I just thought it was funny because I saw the video and I was like, did he say Mean Machine or Green Machine? I go, I think he said Green Machine. And I go, well, that's funny because I just watched The Longest Yard like 2 weeks ago on TV. You guys were in it, and I just remember the team being Mean Machine. So anyway, you're right. I thought it was kind of fun.
No,
It's a
I
good
mean,
color.
thank you. I mean, it fell into place. I mean, it's that close to the F8. It's a one-on-one. I've never seen it before. And oh, it rhymes with mean machine. So I mean, it was pretty easy to, it chose me, let's just put it that way. And I mean, it's really cool. I'm not going to say next week, but in an upcoming episode, and I'm going to film it on Wednesday, I'm going to go to my neighbor's who just picked up his 170. And not only are we going to compare and contrast, but we're going to run him. He's a terrific neighbor to have.
Yeah.
As a car guy, he's got one of the most eclectic collections I have ever seen in my life. From a, I mentioned it to you, from a 4,000 and a 2,000 mile Countach and a Testarossa to a 2,000 mile or 2,000 horsepower. Copo Yanco
Yeah.
or Copo drag car,
Yeah.
2023 drag car. So
You got to do an episode on your channel touring his garage. Let's see if he.
That's can what I'm doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm gonna take the 170. I'm gonna drive it over there because he's 4 miles down the road.
Yeah.
And we're gonna meet his 170 and then have him give us a tour of the garage. And so.
What color is his 170? Do you know?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I was just at the dealership yesterday. And I was talking to him and they said he had picked it up yesterday. Okay. So, we're going to go check it out. He's the one that we're going to run TRX versus the diesel.
Yeah. He's got the modified
that I told you about.
Yeah. Yeah. The modified truck. Yeah. On the 170, now that you've got just a little bit of seat time in both, what's the difference? How do you feel the differences between the 2018 car and the 170? Although you drove it home on E85, so you're going pretty full power on that deal.
Well, no, I wasn't, because first of all, I just got it. Second of all, I was not joking. It was freaking raining.
Yeah.
And I mean, you couldn't see it pelting the car. It wasn't, but it was enough to where it's worse than a not a deluge, right?
Yeah.
But it's just enough to get the oil surfacing on the fucking concrete, pardon my friends, right? So it's right there on the line. And you got drag radials all the way around, like the 18, but they're different. You know, the slots in the Mickey Thompson's provide so much more surface area for the tire itself than the large slots in the Nitto tires. So you got more travel for the rain to go through, right? And less tire on the ground. So you've got less area to slip. And you got 200 more horsepower, arguably.
Yeah.
And so, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know technically what they did suspension wise. I don't know I truly don't know what the comparison is. But to me, it felt like for the first time driving back, it was more in my mind like a super stock suspension would be, as a mid road between the Hellcat Red Eye and the Demon. You know,
as far as
drivability is concerned. I mean, I don't think it's set up. I mean, yeah, it's set up as a sub 9 second car, the first sub 9 second car, but it handles a little bit better than the original 18 as a straight line car.
Yeah. Okay. You know,
that's all I can say. And I don't know technically how much different the suspension is, but it did feel a little, even in the rain, it felt better.
Yeah.
And it sure as hell hooks up differently. And I don't know if the tires make that much of a difference, but it squats down and it sits and it grabs so much differently than that 18 did. So that's the biggest difference that I saw in 44 miles of driving.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it looked cool. I saw that it was raining. It was a little unfortunate that it was raining. I'm sure Jackson was a little nervous driving the other car home.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't get a close up of his butt because he was pretty puckered.
I'm sure he was.
But it provided a great video. We didn't, unfortunately, on the way back, 3/4 of the video was not usable. Something happened to the GoPro, so we couldn't see the dueling back and forth and the cool driving shots. But we'll have a lot of that upcoming, man.
There's gonna be plenty more.
Different, but they look exactly the same going down the road. It provides for a really cool vision.
So the Cybertruck that was on Bring a Trailer, that's sold. And just wanted to say thanks to everyone that participated in that. That auction had 5,486 watchers and 113,623 views.
Does that surprise you?
And it's not the record for Bring a Trailer, but it's very, very high up there. 758 comments. And I know a lot of the commenters were on there going, let's get this to 1,000. And people were just commenting like the last couple of hours, there must have been 150 comments or something like that. So it was fun to participate. Opinions and comments across the gamut. People love the truck. People hate the truck. People don't understand. People do understand, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, it was fun. It sold. Randy from Bring a Trailer jumped in as well. The owner of Bring a Trailer, one of the co-founders, he jumped in on there as well as Bring a Trailer, but he signed it. You know, he commented as Bring a Trailer and he signed it Randy. So people know that he was there, and he was excited to see all the comments and the kind of the commotion that was going on. So it was a fun auction to do. It wasn't my truck. People still think it was. It wasn't my truck. A friend who's never done this before got it, was thinking about selling it. I said, let's give it a shot. Let's see if we can give you the first one listed on Bring a Trailer. We had to go to them. We had discussions about it, and we did, and it was fun, and that's it, and it's done. And I'm pretty sure it's getting shipped overseas. I spoke to the buyer, and I don't want to give too much away. I want to respect his privacy, but this is going to another country for sure. So it's been a little more complicated on closing this deal, but we're getting it done. And you were mentioning wheels and tires. You were mentioning Nitto. So on the Ford Lightning, I got a new set of wheels for it. We're trying to, you know, first of all, you guys listen to the podcast that we do with Alistair from Edmunds. We've been talking recently quite a bit about the values of cars dropping during the pandemic. You know, cars were premium because there was supply chain and people were getting markups, and now that's reversed and prices have dropped on EVs. And, you know, Tesla for the first time is running ads now because they kind of missed their goal on vehicles delivered. They've never spent money on ads. Tesla Fisker is unfortunately on the verge of bankruptcy. Valuations have dropped. So as a fun little gift to me, Alistair was like, hey, let's type your truck into CarMax and see what it's worth. And he's like, it's $50,000. I go, great. It's half what I paid. So needless to say, I have to keep it. I'm stuck with keeping it. I just don't have it in me to try to sell it at any point. I like the truck and I'm driving it, but he added that little cherry on top of the cake of going, you've lost half your value. So now I've decided to do what I want with the truck and modify it and do whatever. By the way, it's not just EVs. I know you're laughing. You're laughing at me, but it's not just the EV market.
I apologize. This is uncontrollable. And I
cars across the board are there. But and the one thing you did bring up is like, if with interest rates being high and car valuations being low, if you are in the market for a car, you'll be able to find a good deal if you can pay cash and get something new, get something used.
Yes. But if you want to finance,
no, it's not advisable.
Dude, I was at the dealership yesterday, and it was the biggest freaking violin I've heard in a long time from dealers, and one of the best dealers around. And they are, and it's not, they're not looking up for tomorrow by any stretch.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously, there's things always going on that we don't know about, but it didn't seem as if the temperature was very hot.
I really can't speak on behalf of the dealers or what they're going through, how they navigate those waters. But from the outside looking in as a consumer, I mean, I can't say there's like a ton of sympathy, because it seemed like prices were high and markups were across the board, and we have very strong opinions about markups. And but now there's major cuts and lack of sales. But look, as we said, like the value of my truck is half what it costs. And a new Lightning, for example, is like 15,000 off sticker. Fiskers are given away for like 40% off the sticker price. And there's been discounts across the board. But yes, the Ford Lightning, which I do enjoy driving, it's a cool truck. And I'm using this as an example because I have one. But absolutely, the smart thing would be like, do you go buy a brand new one? Sure, there's 15,000 off sticker. Or do you buy one a year old? You get it for like 50 or 60 grand. You're getting it for 40% less, you know, and if you can pay cash and not have to finance it. Yeah.
You just don't buy one at all.
Right. But my example is the Lightning, but I mean vehicles in general. If you could buy something a year or two old, get it for half the cost, and if you're able to pay cash and not have to finance, you're going to get you could potentially get a very, very good deal on the car.
Absolutely.
And obviously that doesn't work for most people, right? Because sometimes you have to lease, or if you're doing a write-off, or you have to finance and you need a car. I'm just saying there are some deals out there where we are right now. In that market, there are some deals, or you get screwed like I did. And Edmunds lost, I don't know, I think they said they paid 68 or 69,000 for their Fisker, and the current like CarMax valuation is 28,000, maybe 25,000 now. It's tough, and that company is going to be tough to survive. They said they don't have enough money to survive this year. They're going to need an investment, or they're going to need a partnership, or something with, you know, like there was talks about Nissan, maybe Toyota, buying them or merging or helping or doing something. And I don't, without a deal like that, they won't survive. So the risk on Fisker is, yeah, you can go buy one right now and get a good deal on it, but you don't know if there's going to be any support for that vehicle in the future. And it's not like you can just pop the hood and fiddle around or even scrap it for parts, because there's just not a lot. It's so software based and so proprietary. There's just not a lot you can do. Even a modern day car now, we have so many electronics and stuff in it, but a modern day gas engine car, chances are we could take that engine out and, you know, spend a couple of bucks and do like a custom, you know, EFI system and get it to work in some SEMA build or hot rod or whatever, right? Like we've seen it, people are pulling Aston Martin engines and Ferrari and BMW and putting them into different hot rods and they get it to work. Unless you're just going to scrap that thing for electric motors and put it into something else, it's just not as easy. It's not as feasible to part it out in 10 years from now or 5 years from now if you can't get parts. So,
and it's a shame because they have an endearing spot in our heart.
I like Henrik Fisker. I think he's a charming guy to interview.
No, I'm talking about the car itself. We've both seen that car at HRE, right? And appreciate the aesthetics of that car more so than so many of the others in that space, that they are one that stick out in the niche, right? Not only that, but the close proximity. We have seen them for years and years.
Yeah. So, and you're thinking of the Fisker Karma, the one he did before, which is the sedan. The Fisker SUV, the Fisker Ocean, is the one now that is having the issues. But the Fisker Karma was another example of people buying them. But that did have a little gas engine as an onboard generator, like the new Ram Charger does. But yeah, Fisker's tried this thing a few times, not necessarily been the success story that he wanted. But the Fisker Ocean also still has tons of reservations, and he took deposits on those reservations, and now people are canceling those reservations. And a lot of those deposits, not 100%, but a lot of them were refundable. So now the company has to refund somewhere around $9 million. The rumor is, I think Business Insider said there's something like 40,000 canceled reservations so far. So anyway, that's just a little follow-up on from the last episode we did with that Alistair and I did on Fisker. But anyway, the point being, I was getting into this tire thing and keeping the Lightning truck, and I'll have a video out soon, but I did wheels and tires on the truck, and I tried to find tires that I wanted in the factory size, the 275 50 22s. And I couldn't find anything that I wanted. So I ended up going to the Nitto NT 420 V, I think, to a 305 45 22. So roughly the same overall diameter. So it shouldn't change any of the calibrations on the vehicle, but it is a little bit wider. So I don't know. I'll probably lose a little bit of range or something because I've got a more rubber on the road and a little bit stickier tire, but maybe the performance will increase. But it looks pretty cool. It has a much more aggressive tread on it than the sort of the all-weather EV tire that was on it. But I'm gonna take it over to Eibach, and I think in like 2 weeks, I'm gonna go to Eibach's facility and we're gonna lower it. And they've been working on a kit there that I think it's on the website. I don't think it's been delivered yet, but I'm gonna go in
Wonder
and
if lowering it will compensate for the wider tires in your gas mileage.
that's interesting you brought that up. So two thoughts were, one was, if I reduce the amount of weight, like the wheel and tire package, would that make a difference? And
No question.
then lowering
Why?
it. And now, because I went to a bigger tire, which was heavier, but I went to a lighter wheel, and it's all in the YouTube video I'm going to post, but I'll give it away here. And if I went with the factory tire size on these wheels, I'd be about 5 pounds lighter per corner, 5 to 6 pounds. Now, because I went to the larger tire, I still ended up at almost a pound lighter per corner. So probably not enough to make a difference. 4 pounds lighter isn't going to make a difference. Now, it's a pound per rolling mass, so it's more significant than if I just lost 4 pounds myself and they got it, it wouldn't make a difference. So I think it's not going to make that much of a difference. But with the factory tire size, if you took 20, maybe 24 pounds off of the rolling mass, I don't know. But lowering it. So I don't know if you guys have seen this, but there is a YouTube video, these guys called I1 Tesla, and they took the Cybertruck to the wind tunnel, AT wind tunnel in Mooresville, North Carolina, where they do a lot. They're like right next door to the NASCAR, to a NASCAR facility. They do a lot of the wind tunnel testing.
Everything in Mooresville is
Yeah, right. And they so they brought the
NASCAR.
Cybertruck in there and they did wind tunnel testing to measure the drag coefficient. And for them, they were like, Tesla claimed a 0.34. They got like a 0.38. And the guy explained that there was enough differences in wind tunnels that it's pretty much close enough to what Tesla was claiming. They were actually very impressed with what it did. But to your point, lowering it. So in the video, which is more interesting because you get to learn about the wind tunnel and get to see in it and how it works and talk to the engineers behind it. And they built this thing themselves. So the science behind it, and they tried it with the tonneau open, the tonneau closed, the tailgate up, tailgate down, and the vehicle lifted in its higher modes and then lowered. And there was a difference. Lowering it in its lowest mode, in its highway mode versus its higher mode, does make a difference overall in the drag coefficient. So
There you go.
lowering the vehicle around town, it's not going to make a difference. Like, I don't think there's going to be any difference in my range doing my 3-4 mile commute, right? Because the weight's not going to make that much of a difference.
It's not gonna matter if you're going under 20 miles an hour
Yeah,
or
it's not going to make a difference. Getting up on the highway, what it happens to the total range. And you're right. I am curious to see if the added friction from the tires is offset by maybe lowering the truck and improving the aerodynamics a little bit. And I am curious, like, as I know there's a lot of debate on tonneau cover versus no tonneau cover, tailgate open versus tailgate closed. And Ford even put up a video of an F-150 a while ago, and they wind tunnel tested, and he gave advice on a truck. And then at the end of the video, he said, "But if you put a tonneau cover on it, you will improve the overall aerodynamic." So from that engineer's point of view, and I know there's still a lot of debate online, he's saying it will help. I don't know. And when they did the Tesla, by the way, tonneau cover closed was the most efficient. Tonneau cover open, least efficient. But if you put the tailgate down and the tonneau cover open, it worked better, but not as well as tailgate closed, tonneau closed. So there you go.
I don't give a shit. I
Yeah.
I saw an 18-wheeler of Tesla Cybertrucks pass Bernie the other day where I live. And I just, it, to me, it just looked like the best moving target range I've ever seen.
I saw videos too. Someone's like, "Is it bulletproof?" And the girl shot the thing. I'm like, "Okay, you shot it, and it didn't go through the door, but now you got 19 dents in your door. Like, what are you gonna do?" And I guess the gimmick now is like you drive around with these dents in the door and go, "What happened?" You go, "Well, I shot it. I wanted to prove that it was on." I don't know. It's not.
The gimmick now. That's the whole thing. I mean, that.
I a lot of people do some wacky stuff for content creation for YouTube
Dude, I
and
went to
whatever.
Demolition Ranch again last week. I love those guys to death, and they got a following that's unrivaled online, dude. And it was a, it was the first event they had. They have this place called Desperado Ranch. So he's blossomed Demolition Ranch into like a place where people can come and enjoy themselves for a certain amount of money. I.e. the eclipse next week, he's renting out spots on his land. But it was a private event with YouTubers, all influencers, right? So the first event was total chaos. Last week was the second event, and the only reason I'm alluding to it and wasting your time is that they, right at the end of the event, a Tesla pulled up, not a Cybertruck, but I guess it was just a, I don't even know, a four-door Tesla. And it had a turret with a 50 caliber machine gun. I thought that was, it was kind of, does that even out? Or I didn't get that part.
That's interesting how they, I gotta have to see how they got it mounted up there.
Oh, trust me, man, it was professionally done. It was like,
I mean, I
he's
guess I'd
incredible.
rather do that because it seems removable than shoot the side of my Cybertruck and put a bunch of holes in it if I owned a Cybertruck.
I don't know. That's kind of a toss-up too. But I can't rag on the Cybertruck too much because Gage's quarterback just received the first one in Colorado, Shedeur Sanders, Deion's son.
Deion Sanders' son is the quarterback of that team.
You didn't know that?
All right. No, I didn't know
Oh yeah.
that.
Yeah, he's the quarterback and he took delivery of the first Cybertruck in Colorado a couple of days ago. So that's what Gage has got to compete with. He's just pulling up in his lonely old Bronco.
Yeah, but that Bronco's cool.
I know, I'm just joking.
I like the Bronco, but you're right. Yeah, he's got to slum it in a new Bronco while it's somebody else has got a new $100,000 tire Cybertruck.
Oh, he's got that in Bugatti. He's got just, he's got everything. He's, yeah. Valuation of over $5 million for his NIL alone in college. So that's how the game's changed. Back in the day, it was illegal to get paid. Now it's just part of the business. So
Yeah, it's business.
there you
Somebody was making money off of it anyway, right? Why not?
Hey, man, yeah, more power to him. More power to him. Hell, Gage is getting stuff already. So it's cool. It's a cool process. My son, who's not 18 years old yet, it needs an agent.
Yeah, he does. All right. So, what else is going on? The Lincoln Nautilus. This is the new Lincoln SUV, a two-row SUV that redesigned, lots of new tech, and I wasn't able to go down to the debut. So Lincoln, being as great as they are, reached out and said, "Sorry, you couldn't make it. Would you like to drive one? Here you go." And they scheduled it very quickly. It's cool. It's interesting, and they've definitely made some changes and upgrades to it. And the first thing that you'll want to see is, if you can see that, is trying to share the screen here. Inside, there's this massive screen that goes all the way across the dash, and then you have a smaller, like 12, I think 12.1 inch screen, touch screen. But along the dash, it's kind of an interesting setup because you have a screen up there. It lowers the dash, like the dash pad is lower. So when you get into it, you feel like you're sitting very high when you first get into it. And after a few days, you kind of get used to it. And then that screen going all the way across, and it's customizable. You can swap out the different sections of it. What gets displayed on the different sections turns out to be really kind of cool. You've got the gauges in front of you, speedo and stuff, and then you can have maps or whatever. I set it up with maps and weather and the infotainment stuff. But one of the features that I liked was it has Android Auto wireless and CarPlay wireless. And when it connects to your phone, if you use maps on your phone, like Apple Maps, it puts it up on the big wide screen instead of just on the touchscreen in front of you. So one of the issues people that use CarPlay, as you guys would know, is when you use CarPlay, you pretty much your infotainment radio functions disappear because now you're in CarPlay. So you can't change radio stations. You can with steering wheel controls, but you can't touch the screen to change radio stations and stuff or climate control if it's on the touchscreen while the map is up there. Well, in the Lincoln, you can, because now you can put on your Apple Maps, have it go onto the big wide screen, show you the maps, and then you can take your small screen and actually start controlling the infotainment system and your massage seats and change radio stations and all that stuff. So it does a real kind of split screen. And I don't know why more cars aren't doing this. I had this massive, like double high screen in my truck. And I can't really do like a real split screen like this is doing. I don't know why it's not doing it. Actually, the RAM with the big screen, I think, does do it. If you have the RAM with the double high screen, I think it does do a split screen. But
yeah, because I'm not knowing what you're talking about because mine does do
it. Yeah, yours does it. Yeah, and it was one of the.
That's all that I know of the CarPlay. I know CarPlay sucks overall, I think, but. You know, my impression of this is, hey, it's the future, number one. Number two, less mechanical, less moving parts, less area needed. So they'll take advantage of the ability to, you know, be one with the outdoors and liken it back to the 50s when you had huge glass in front of you and it was like a display case.
Yeah.
Which I think is cool, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it is cool. Anyway, they're doing some interesting things with it. Now, overall, it's a great exterior design, beautiful interior design. It's quiet. It seems even more comfortable than before. It has a much smoother, nicer suspension before. So it rides well, and the luxury is there. Like, whereas, you know, Cadillac does well, but they seem to have leaned into the performance side of thing. Lincoln is really trying to go more into the luxury side of things. And what's interesting is it has like a spa mode. So if you're sitting in the car and you're waiting for somebody or something for a minute, it'll do the sound and the ambient lighting and the massaging seats. It goes into a full spa mode, which is actually kind of interesting. It's kind of a cool piece. Now you can't do that while you're driving, but you can do the massaging seats and stuff while you are driving. So if you like that, you can get into that. The one that I'm driving is the hybrid. It's not a plug-in hybrid. It's got a four-cylinder with two electric motors. The combined output is about 310 horsepower. It seems like it's fast enough. I don't know that the specs are out on it. It feels like it's a mid 5 seconds, maybe high 5 seconds, 0 to 60 range. You know, on that, it's comfortable and pretty seamless between switching from gas engine to electric mode. It doesn't shake the vehicle and jar it every time it fires up the gas engine. So it's pretty seamless and it works well. And up on that big screen, each time I drive it, I can get a gauge that tells me how much, like if I drove 4 miles on the way here, it'll tell me, oh, I did 3 miles of gas and 1 point something miles of on electric. So it kind of breaks it down for you. And Lincoln says it'll do 30 miles per gallon. And my short commute was getting about 26. And then I drove around town a little bit further, but in stop and go in traffic. And I got 30 out of it. So it's they're so far it seems pretty accurate. So anyway, Lincoln Nautilus, it's nice if you guys are looking for an alternative in the luxury SUV range. It has stiff competition, Genesis, and then certainly when you step up to like BMWs and Audis, it starts in the mid 50s and goes up to about 80,000 when you get the full black label, blackout trim and all of the options on it.
Is that a
You
full
can get
size?
up there. So no, so above this would be the Aviator, which gets you into three rows, and then the Navigator would be even bigger than that. So this probably would compete with like an X3, like a 3 series SUV that the around
So
that
it's for
size.
people your size.
Yeah, it kind of is. Now, one thing that they did is because Lincoln wanted to make it more comfortable is the in the back in the hatch area, it's a little bit smaller because they gave you more leg room for the rear seat passengers. So they just a decision they needed to make. Do we want more room in the back or do we want more leg room in, for the passengers? And they went with leg room. And it's actually very, very comfortable. So it's got air fresheners. It's got scents. There's three cartridges you can load into it, and I couldn't find a scent that I liked. I ended up turning it off. Everything to me just, I don't know. I just got into it and I was like, who's wearing Axe body spray? Like, what's going on in here? But it's an interesting feature, and they're not the first company to do it. I think a couple of others do it. I think BMW was doing it like on a 7 series, but to me, it just seems like it's another thing they're just going to try to sell you is these cartridges all the time if you want it to smell good. But listen, I don't know. If you've got a bunch of smelly kids in the back or a wet dog or something, then maybe you do
Could be for
want
you, man. You never
it.
know.
Maybe you do want it. But anyway, that's it. Lincoln Nautilus. Yeah. What else is going on? Did we
I've
cover
always liked
everything?
Lincoln, man. Lincoln's always done well. That's a nice cross between. I thought they've always done a nice cross between luxury and performance. So.
I agree. I like the Lincoln team. Have got to spend time with the designers and some of the engineers and kind of talk about the whole motivation behind, the brand and the future of the brand and, stuff that you're seeing now versus stuff that they're designing for 5 years from now. To be perfectly honest with you, like Adam Carolla had a Lincoln Aviator, and nice, but the quality wasn't quite there, and this feels like a significant upgrade as far as the build quality. Just Adam's car was just very, very nice, but just it just seemed like over time, little things that shouldn't break. Window switches were falling off. The front sensor for the thing was not working. For the cruise control and just a few things like that just weren't there. And admittedly, Ford as overall, Jim Farley is like, we need to improve quality across the board. This seems like a nice step in that direction. It feels solid. It feels well built. It feels comfortable. And yeah, there's some history with the Lincoln brand that I still think we all appreciate, at least some of us. Anyway, that's it. Lincoln Nautilus, check that out. Yeah, listen, I think we're good. I'm gonna wrap it up. I gotta do a little more work mounting wheels and tires on the thing. I put the new wheels on and I found a little bit of a wobble in the rear, and I realized the lug nuts are a little short. The lug nuts are bottoming out and not screwing. And I was like, oh, I'm glad I noticed that and didn't ride in there. I would have been pissed. I would have called the wheel and tire guy. Like, you're mounting, you're balancing or shit. It's like, I don't know what you're doing. I would have been so mad at that guy. And I would have felt bad because, but it's good to look at these things ahead of time. It's like, I just need a little bit longer lug nut and then it'll be fixed. But
Yeah, and it's also good to go through things that have been sitting for a while because you mentioned the word wobble, and the thing that comes to my mind is death wobble because the
yeah.
Willys, as Gage was driving it yesterday, and we weren't wearing our seatbelts because we were on the property, and I wanted to be able to eject if he flipped us. Yeah, death wobble in the front, man. And we've got distance between the axe. It's fucked up. I'm glad we addressed. I've got to address it today. So
Yeah.
glad we talked.
Yeah, the picture you sent me, I put it up in the I think you ended up putting it up on Instagram anyway, so I added it to the YouTube video up there. Yeah, cool little piece. Yeah.
It's hilarious, I think. Anyway, cool
All
beans,
right, guys,
man.
we're gonna wrap it up. We're gonna get back to work. We'll see you guys next week. Until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.